New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters has accused the International Red Cross of putting an Islamic State kidnap victim in more danger.
The Red Cross's action is not one we agreed with, and I don't want to be in a dispute with them. But frankly, the truth needs to be put out there so that we can get on to the return of our original purpose, which is to save this woman if she's alive and if we possibly can.
The captive in question is Louisa Akavi, a 62-year-old nurse from New Zealand who was kidnapped in Syria in 2013. For many years, her kidnap was a secret until the ICRC made a public appeal for information. Professor Alexander Gillespie is an international law expert and joins us now from New Zealand. Welcome.
Good evening.
Why was this kidnapping a secret for so long?
It was kept a secret because by keeping it out of the media, it increased the chances of her surviving her ordeal. And the fact that the media didn't get involved, the Red Cross or the New Zealand government, meant that against all odds, she may have survived, well, may still be alive up to this point.
Winston Peters has come out swinging against the ICRC, saying their public appeal will put her in more danger. What do you make of that view? Is that true?
Well, the Red Cross is known for its being impartial and doing its work behind closed doors. And they only ever go public when it's the last resort. And in their opinion, the war's now over and she may be out there in that kind of tide of humanity that's kind of with the refugees and away from the conflict zone. The New Zealand government seems to take a different view, and they seem to be of the mind that she may still be a captive with Islamic State. If she is still a captive with Islamic State and now it's been made public, then the risk to her life could have suddenly increased.
After keeping the kidnap a secret for such a long period of time, what does it mean that they've decided to go public now?
They've asked for any information that may be out there, because as Syria becomes more under governmental control or under Kurdish control, a lot of the people who have been pushed out by the conflict are slowly being accounted for. And so some of the people that we've had who are Kiwis who have been fighting for Islamic State, they've suddenly surfaced. And so the hope is that in that kind of tide of people that she too may surface. The problem is that the information is sketchy, and it's more about trying to keep your fingers crossed right now and hoping for a good outcome, even though the odds are increasingly against it.
What do we know about her life as a captive?
We don't know a lot, and there's been a number of reports of her being sighted since 2013. But you must remember, as I'm sure you do, that most captives and hostages who were held by Islamic State had a pretty short existence and they suffered pretty horrific deaths. It may be that she survived because she was out of the media spotlight. It may be she survived because she was Red Cross, although Islamic State had no regard for them. Or it may be she survived because she was a medic. There's a possibility that they were going to try to ransom her, but New Zealand, like Australia, does not ransom hostages.
And what sort of dangers does publicity of her case pose for her? What's the likelihood, you know, you say she's been sighted, but that she's still alive?
No one really knows, and you're kind of dealing with a lot of kind of second and third hand information. But if she is still held by Islamic State, or the other possibilities that she could have been sold to another criminal group, once it becomes known that she's out there, then the group may want to increase the value if they try to sell her, or now make it public and then put the government into a very difficult negotiating position. Because as I say, the Kiwis won't negotiate with a hostage taker.
Why do countries like Australia and New Zealand refuse to pay ransoms? What are their alternative negotiation strategies given that?
The international rule in this area is that you shouldn't pay ransoms, because if you do, over the long term, you increase the likelihood of terrorists or criminals targeting your citizens, because they know they'll get an economic reward, because they know that your country will pay. The problem is that in the shorter term, some countries like France, Spain, Italy, Switzerland, that they are willing to pay the hostage demands because they don't want to see one of their citizens executed over the internet.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights.
You're welcome.
That's Professor Alexander Gillespie. He's an international law expert at the University of Waikato in New Zealand. And this is RN Drive.